happy holidays to everyone. For those of you here in the U.S., I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Now, I know the holidays can be stressful and lonely for many, and I always try to keep those of you in this situation in the forefront of my thoughts during this period of the year. I'm working on something for Christmas Day, and I will give you more info when I hear back from the powers that be at Pride 48. My husband, Paco, is going to spend Christmas in Mexico with his aging mom and his family at my absolute insistence, and I'm going to be here alone at home with the dogs. Paco and I have spent every Christmas together in our 10 years, and I know the holiday is special and very religious for his mom. And although he didn't want to, I really wanted his mom to have him there on Christmas Day, alone without having to accommodate the gringo. He doesn't have as many years left with her to enjoy as the immediate family only, so fortunately, he agreed to go for this 1 year. We will all Zoom during Christmas Day, so I'm trying to memorize some important phrases in Spanish to use, such as el gato y el perro comen pan, which means the cat and the dog eat bread, which is just such a handy phrase to use. But that is still pretty much the extent of my Spanish, although I'm still working on it. And I'm also very excited that I'll be playing background piano for them during their big family dinner on Christmas. But as I'm going to be alone here on Christmas Day, I was hoping to be able to work something out for those of you who are alone to join me in some sort of online social, and I will keep you posted as the plans finalize. Now, in today's episode, I bring a newly edited story time back from my old shows. It is a holiday story, albeit New Year's Eve, but for those who have enjoyed my erotic true life stories, oof, this is a good one. If any of you are fans of Northridge High Football Camp, my gay erotic sports novel that I did as an audiobook on the Jockstrap Stories podcast, you may recognize that I took some of this real-life story and used it for Vinnie Manta on the bus ride to the football camp. And I am dedicating this episode to Gino, who recently sent me an email telling me how much he enjoyed these erotic stories. So Gino, this is for you, and I really hope you enjoy this one. I will be back at the end of the story to wrap up, and please note that this was recorded before I got my really nice microphone and mixer, so it's going to sound kinda tinny, and sorry about that. And just as a warning, I use a lot of F-bombs and other such words in this story, so if those kind of things offend you, you may want to pass on this one. And now, without any further ado, here is Don't Let Your Balls Touch Mine.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.
And I'm going to tell you a story of one of my favorite New Year's Eves. And this was actually the last New Year's Eve in my 20s. So I was 29 years old. And this story takes place on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 1987. And what happened that particular weekend? It was during the week, but then there was a weekend attached to it. And I'm not sure which way it went, but for about 5 days, some kids and I decided that we were going to go up to this winter chalet that this family had. Now, I was the oldest person here. I was 29 years old. The five people consisted of myself, this kid named Chicky, this guy Donovan that we called D usually, his brother Tim, and both Donovan and Tim's last name actually were Donovan. So Donovan, what we call Donovan or D, his first name was like Derek or something like that. But we always called him Donovan or D. And then Tim, his brother, this kid, Chicky, myself. And then there was this fifth dude that was, I guess he was a friend of Donovan's or wasn't a friend of Tim's. He was either a friend of Donovan's or a friend of Chicky's. And I'm not really 100% sure what this dude's name was. I think it was, looking at my notes, it was something like Patel or something like that. He was a Middle Eastern guy. Hugely, hugely beautiful man. Oh, fuck, was this guy beautiful. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So Donovan and Tim, age-wise, were 21 and 20, respectively. They were 1 year apart. Chicky was closer to my age. He was probably like 26-ish to my 29. And the other dudes, he was about Tim and Donovan's age, so probably just over 20. So at 29, I certainly was the oldest. And fuck, when am I never the oldest in the group? I am always the oldest in the group because I tend to hang around young people, because I tend to be extremely immature most of the time, which entertains the fuck out of me. So I love that. And it probably makes for more interesting stories, I guess. So that's why Paco and I, even though we're separated by so many years, we tend to have a really good time together. He's very mature for his age, and I'm very, very immature for my age. So we just tend to fit together pretty good. But the Donovans, the family, Donovan and Tim and his parents, they had this winter place up in Stowe, Vermont. And the Donovan family, the mother and father, had gone to a cruise somewhere. It was, I want to say it was the Mediterranean, or it was somewhere not like the coast of the U.S. It was somewhere over in Europe. So it was probably like a Mediterranean cruise. And Donovan and Tim were old enough now, you know, they were in college, so they didn't go with the parents. And we all decided for 5 days, fuck it, let's go to the Donovan's winter chalet and let's do some skiing or whatever. And actually what was starting right at that time was snowboarding. Now, snowboarding had already been around for a few years, but this is really when it was like taken off, like all the young kids were doing it. And I'm going to call myself young at 29 in this story. So Donovan and Tim had done it quite a bit, so they were like good at it. But like Chicky and myself and this Middle Eastern kid, we were really bad at it. So what ended up happening was Donovan and Tim would go every day. They'd go up on the mountain and they'd snowboard. And the rest of us would like either hang out at the chalet or drive around and do shit. We'd sit in the lodges and drink, and we had a good time for ourselves. But just one day up on the mountain trying snowboarding, and it just wasn't my thing. Because I had never winter skied. I've never ice skated. All my stuff tends to be summertime stuff. You know, I've been skiing both double skis and slalom. I've done wakeboards. I've done parasailing. A lot of shit on the water I tend to do. But snow is generally not my thing. But one of the things that I was super happy to hear about was that the Donovans had a hot tub at their chalet. So, like, that sold me on the whole idea. And I'm like, yeah, fuck, let's go. Absolutely. We'll try snowboarding and see how it goes. And if not, well, fuck it. They have a pool table. They have a jacuzzi there. Fuck it. I'll still have a good time. So we headed up there. And Donovan and Chicky on New Year's Eve ended up going out to a party at some other place. It was like a condo complex in Stowe somewhere. And three of us decided we were going to just stay back because we had been partying for days. Well, I think we were probably up there 3 days before this. So this is like the third or the fourth day. And I was pretty partied out. A lot of people were. So the three of us just hung back and we decided that we were just going to have some beer and shoot some pool and watch the ball drop on TV. And that's it. And the next day, you know, we won't have as bad a hangover as the rest of everybody will. So we'll be able to get our shit together and head back down here to Massachusetts just fine. So yeah, that was a plan. It was a plan, to say the least. So
Donovan and Chicky head out, and his brother Tim and myself and this Middle Eastern kid decided to stay back. Donovan and Tim were redheads. They had very bright red hair and a lot of freckles, both on their bodies as well as like on their face. You know, they had a lot of freckles. And when you're at like an outdoorsy kind of guy and you have that red hair and the freckled face, but you're outside doing shit all the time, wow, that is an attractive look. Redheads, my hat off to you folks, because you're beautiful, beautiful people. And the freckles just make me melt every time. So these two guys, by the way, all of these guys were straight guys. And that's one of the things that make the stories for me, the things that I've gone through, really make it the best. Because, you know, I hang around with gay guys now. I've hung around with gay guys for quite a while. But all during that early time when I was first in gyms and stuff, I was hanging around a lot of straight dudes. And it can be a lot more erotic, homoerotic in its own way, even though it is innocent guy kind of fun, you know, where we're just kind of like wrestling around and doing shit. Don't get me wrong, I have a wicked lot of fun with my gay friends and my gay housemates and my gay husband, but hanging out with straight guys in that kind of environment, and I was not hiding that I was gay, but it wasn't really anything I felt I had to talk about all the time. So whether these guys knew I was gay or not, I really don't know, and I really don't care because, you know, it was still a good time despite that. So Donovan and Chicky headed out, and Tim and I think Patel, and I were hanging back, and we started tapping the fridge for beers. There was a few six-packs in there, and this was also like right around the time that VCRs first became popular, when CD players were first popular. So what we did is we kind of had a movie on, like Caddyshack or some such kind of movie. Had the sound down, blasting rock music through their awesome, awesome sound system. It was the first surround sound system I had ever heard of or seen. And that was awesome. We just cranked that puppy up. And there was a pool table. And we started, you know, just shooting pool and drinking beer and, you know, just hanging out. So that went on for like an hour. And then we ran out of beer. So Tim said, well, my parents got all these bottles of champagne. We always have them. There's like a case of champagne downstairs. Let me go down and get it. So he went down, and it was cool enough down there that the champagne was, you know, coolish. We put it in the fridge, popped open a bottle, and we moved from beer to the champagne. And Joey happened to have some ecstasy with me. I don't even remember how I first started ecstasy. I don't remember the first time I ever did it, but I was the first of my friends to like really get into this. And so it was pharmaceutical grade ecstasy, which over the years, I don't know if any of you have done ecstasy back in the 90s, it was really kind of like watered down. It wasn't as potent as it was pharmaceutical grade, because originally the rumor is, I don't know if it's true, but that ecstasy was originally designed for psychiatrists to work with people who were very closed off in their emotions. Because if you've ever done it, you go through this love phase where you just want to hug everybody and touch everybody and tell them how much they mean to you. And then like you really get hyper and you want to dance or do something. So loads of fun. So I pulled out the ecstasy and I'm like, anybody want? And they're like, both, yeah, sure, what the fuck? So beer, champagne, and ecstasy makes for a great, great New Year's Eve. It was around 10 o'clock. We had a super buzz going from all this shit, right? We were still shooting pool, playing music. I was playing like a lot of the 60s and 70s rock music, and it was incredible. It's truly one of the best New Year's of my life. So in addition to all of that, why not have some weed? This kid, Patel or whatever, he had some weed with him. So he's like, hey, why not? So we thought it best not to be doing it in the chalet itself. So we went outside onto the deck, and this was like a private area outside. It was a freestanding house, and it was at the base, I guess, of where the mountain was. and there was a lot of woods around it. And, you know, you could see lights from other houses, but they were through the trees quite a ways. I mean, it was really quite private there. Plus, they had like a 6-ish foot fence around two sides of the jacuzzi that was out on the deck. So it was really private and it was awesome. So we're sitting out there on the, they had these benches that were like redwood or redwood stain anyway. And normally, I guess during the summer, they bring out these cushions to put on there and stuff. But it would being winter, they would just strip down. But, you know, we were dressed, might have thrown on a coat or something. I don't remember. So we're sitting out there and we're just smoking a bone and passing it back and forth and looking at the fucking stars that, because we were so far away from major lights, it just looked like there was, well, there were billions of stars up in the sky, and you could see it clearly as can be. And I was sitting there and I was watching, and once in a, like a while, there'd be a shooting star. Whenever I've been camping or outside where it's nighttime, and if I'm away from civilization a little bit, one of my favorite things to do is just to fucking watch the stars and try to see the shooting stars and looking at the moon and trying to see it as clearly as possible. So I'm just kind of sitting there in my own little world as we smoke and drink the champagne and shit. And so then, like, we were starting to get kind of hyperactive because the ecstasy was kicking in. This wasn't, you know, pussy kind of strength to it. It was balls to the walls pills back then, you know. So we were going through these waves because we kept talking about it. You know, are you having waves because you smoke? We're smoking, or are you having waves because of the E, or, you know, or is it because of the champagne, or what the fuck, you know? So, oh man, I loved this time. So we were getting wicked, wicked, wicked hyperactive, and we couldn't play pool at that point because it was really getting too hard to follow. You know, I was sending the balls off the table constantly and shit. So by like 11 o'clock, we stopped playing pool, and the music was just playing. It was a little more mellow. And, you know, I had seen the hot tub while we were sitting out on the benches smoking the bone. And so I said to Tim, you know, is that running? And he's like, yeah, we use it in the winter. Actually, in the winter is one of the best times to use it. We use it year round, but like it's always ready. Yeah, it's heated up and shit. So I had never been in a hot tub at that point in my life. I've been in many since, but back then the closest would be like at a gym if they had like a pool or something. Sometimes they have pools with little jets in them and stuff, but not to the extent of what a real, you know, hot tub is. So I was like really into that because I'd never been in one. And I don't remember if that Middle Eastern dude had been in a hot tub before, but Tim, of course, had been in it constantly. Tim and Donovan really were the ones that use it the most. Their parents didn't use it that much. And Tim was telling me that he'd use it, you know, him and Donovan would use it and they'd have some girls over and, you know, have a little party out on there. So the three of us decided, yeah, let's go in the hot tub. But because it was winter, they didn't have any swimsuits up there. What Tim said they did is him and Donovan were always buying new board shorts and stuff. And once in a while, like a shorter swimsuit, but they tended to wear board shorts. And so they were buying it so often that they would bring up new stuff each time they'd come, and they'd bring it home. They wouldn't keep anything up there. They did in the summertime, they said, but in the winter they didn't bother doing it because then they get dirty and his mom would have to have dirty clothes to wash. So all of the clothes that were stored up there were like winter ski kind of clothes for them to go out on the mountain on. So Tim said that what they would do normally if they didn't have swimsuits, it was during the winter like this, is they either went in their underwear or they'd go naked if their parents weren't home. You know, they were brothers, no big deal. Tim did admit that he never got naked when girls were over for hot tubbing and stuff. Even if the parents were out, he said it just didn't feel right. But he and Donovan used to do it all the time. You know, they'd get naked and they'd go in the hot tub and sit and drink or sit and smoke a bone or something. So The mom had bought one female suit, he said, that she did keep there because sometimes a girl would be over and she'd want to go in. And of course, she wouldn't go in naked. So they had this one swimsuit. So it was kind of a joke, like, okay, I'll wear the bottom, you wear the top kind of thing. And, you know, kind of laughed about that. But we decided that we were going to go in our underwear because the other guy said, like, he wasn't going to go in naked. And I personally, I didn't care either way. If you know anything about me, you know I could care less. And Tim said, okay, you know, he didn't care, but why don't we all just stay in our underwear? And, you know, that'll work. So, because this other guy kind of seemed paranoid about being bare-assed, like he didn't really want to do it. So what it was we stripped down to our underwear. And back then, it was white jockey shorts that everybody was wearing. It wasn't quite into the boxer phase that happened in the 90s, like with Abercrombie and Fitch and everything. That's when all of that really exploded and they started wearing a lot more boxer shorts. But back in the 80s, mid to late 80s, it was still white underwear is what everybody wore. So that's what we had, right? So as I said, Donovan and Tim were redheads. And it was weird when he got down to his white underwear just to see all this red, because he had like red on his chest and belly too, and then all these freckles. And the other guy, the Middle Eastern guy, he was like, he had like dark blackish hair. He had a really prominent, almost hook kind of nose. And I know that, and I made a note about that in my journal because I have this thing for noses. It's one of the things like I find either attractive or not attractive on a guy. I like people with strong noses for whatever reason. Strong nose and kind of closer set eyes. Yeah, so this Middle Eastern guy, I would say probably was like the most handsome of the five of us that were there. And, you know, I noticed that like in the Jeep riding up there. I mean, it was one of the first things, you know, hi, my name is da, da, da. And I'm one of these people, try as I may, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm nervous when I first meet people or something. If I meet several people, their names don't stick with me. And, you know, you get to a certain point, right, where somebody's introduced themselves to you and you've told them your name. And God forbid they remember your name. But you know that you can, you know, be with that person and do different things and sometimes even different days. And you get to a point where you know each other too well for you to be able to say, I'm sorry, I never caught your name. You know, there's kind of a point of no return on that kind of thing. Like you got to ask definitely the first day at some point to say, I'm sorry, shit, I have no memory. What was your name again? But too many times I would wait like days and know somebody and be hanging out with them and not know their name. So I used to have this thing I would do with friends that I would tell them, I've been hanging around with this guy and I have no fucking idea what his name is. So you got to act as my wingman. And this is what you're going to do. I'm going to walk up to the bar. This was usually in a bar or a club. I'm going to walk up to the bar with this guy and I'm going to start talking and not introduce the two of you. And I want you to say, oh, come on, Joey, geez, how rude can you be? Hi, my name is, and my friend sticks out his hand and says his name so that guy will then go, oh, yeah, my name is Patel or whatever. So then I would say, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. Yeah, Patel and just so-and-so, you know. And I'd get away with it. And then it was like, God, I've got to remember the name. I've got to remember the name. But whatever this dude's name was when he first introduced me, I don't remember. But he was sitting in the back of the Jeep with me, riding up north. There were, I think it was actually probably Tim and him and me all sitting in the back. And I noticed right then, like, how striking this guy was in the face. You know, he had like bluish, blackish eyes and he had really black hair. It wasn't dark brown. It was fucking black. And oh man, he was handsome with that nose. Woof. Oof. So this guy also like was into weightlifting. He was probably built, I'd say I was built the best actually because I was lifting a lot. This guy was like secondary. So I remember riding up thinking, oh, I can shoot the shit with him about weightlifting. And I don't know if they have weights up at the chalet, which they did not. But I was thinking if they did, that he and I could lift together or something. So he lifted weights. I lifted weights. Chicky did somewhat too. He lifted at college. But Donovan and Tim, they were going to the, I want to say the University of Maine. Don't think it was the University of Vermont, but it might have been. They were going, and they were gymnastics guys. So they were, you know, really lean, like really tight, compact little gymnast bodies. Oh, this is a great story. I can put myself right back there and be in this place. So, all right. So the three of us stripped down to our underwear while we were still inside the chalet, and we were all in white jockey shorts. So like as we're stripping down, right? Tim and I just like peel our clothes off right away, right? Just kind of throw them on the floor. But this other guy, the Middle Eastern guy, he was like doing it really slowly, taking his clothes off. Like he was super, super conscious or something, you know? He was taking a bunch of swigs out of the champagne as he was like slowly taking his clothes off. And so after a couple seconds, we were like, what the fuck? And so we grabbed another bone and we brought some champagne out with us. And the three of us climbed into the jacuzzi. And it was pretty big. I would say that it probably could have fit twice as many. So like six people probably could fit in there. Maybe not the most comfortable, but fit in there. Three of us, we had, you know, plenty of room. But we were kind of in a confined space. You know, we were sitting kind of apart. But then the way the hot tub seats went down to the floor, our feet were all like touching and kicking each other and playing footsie and laughing. All this while we're sitting in this fucking hot tub, right? Yeah, so we're all just like sitting back in our white skivvies and chugging champagne because like we each had our own bottle of champagne. So we were just like gulping down that. And overhead, we'd occasionally hear like a loud pop. And then if we looked up in the sky, we could see like a stray firework or two go off that must have been launched like from somewhere else on the mountain. We didn't have any with us, but we'd see some. And I guess somewhere in town, somewhere in downtown Stowe, I think they had major fireworks, but we didn't bother doing any of that. So, like, after a while, Tim and I started trying to kick each other's feet out from under in the water so that the person would slide down and kind of briefly, like, bob under the water. And then, like, we kept getting water up our noses and we were laughing about it. And we just kept trying to pull each other so that we'd slide down and go underwater. But this Middle Eastern dude was just, like, sitting there and he was laughing along with us and stuff, but like he wasn't wrestling around or anything. You know, he was just really quiet. You know, he'd laugh, but he wouldn't really say much in conversation. So I, because I had been drinking beer, then I was drinking champagne, I had to take a whiz really badly. But the warm water felt so good that I didn't want to get out of the hot tub to pee because it was fucking freezing outside. And we didn't really notice how cold it was until you're in the hot tub and like you go under the water and then you come up and like there wasn't wind, but like just the cold, the chill, because fortunately there was no wind because of the way they had these fences, the 6 foot tall, you know, on two sides, it blocked the wind, which was good. So, so I didn't want to get out to pee. So Tim stood up and he pulled the front of his underwear down. And he leaned back so that he arched his back and he let like this fountain of piss shoot out past the edge of the hot tub and all the way over onto the boards of the deck. And I told him, it was so cold, right? So I said, you're really going to regret having that piss smell all over the floorboards on your deck. And he then said that he and Donovan did this all the time in the water. And the best thing was when it was this cold out that the piss would freeze quickly and you'd step out later and you'd like slide on frozen piss. So, you know, we're on ecstasy, we're stoned, we're drinking champagne, we had beer. So like, you know, the need to take a piss was really great. So I started laughing at Tim's underwear because the way the hot tub had, you know, had warm water and all, it kind of stretched it out. And like when he'd stand up, when he'd lean back, it would look like from the back like a diaper that was full of shit. And I kept like, oh, you took a dump there, Tim. You took a dump. And he said, oh, I can fix that problem. And he stepped out of his underwear and he flung them across towards the chairs and the bench on the deck. And so that's all I needed. So I stood up. I did the same, but I threw my underwear like way out and it probably ended up going over the edge of the deck because I ended up having to put on different underwear later. So I don't know if I even got it. I don't even know if I found it or not. But Tim was started saying that I threw stuff as good as I played pool because I was knocking the balls off the pool table constantly. So Tim had taken a piss, right? And the jacuzzi's going with the fountain, right? And our balls are just kind of like floating on top of the water. And our dickheads are like bobbing up and down in the bubbles. You know, it was really entertaining. And I just, you know, I kind of took like a memory capture of that moment because I thought it was so fucking hot to be doing this. But I didn't let on, you know, again, I didn't want to bring any gay stuff up. I'm sure they know. I'm sure like later in my life they found out. I don't remember, but it was really freeing to say the least. And the other dude, right, this Patel guy, he just like stayed sitting in the water and he was laughing along with us while we did this shit, but he was still wearing his underwear and sitting there and he wasn't wrestling around and he wasn't, you know, trying to dunk under the water and shit. So Tim started mocking him and saying he didn't dare take off his underwear. And believe me, I wanted this dude to take off his underwear because he was so fucking hot as fuck. And he had that dark hair, you know, and he didn't stand up right away. He had been sitting with the underwear, right, in the hot tub. And all I kept thinking was, you know, that if he did stand up, I'd be able to see like the black hair and shit on him. But finally, after a few more minutes of like ragging on him, he stood up and he pulled his underwear off and he kind of said like, you know, oh, hope you guys are happy now kind of thing. So the three of us were just standing there in the bubbles and it was like cold, cold, cold on my torso. So I sat back down and then Tim sat back down. And he asked Patel if he was just going to stand around, you know, are you done or are you going to like sit back and relax and stuff? So he sat back down and that's when we took the bone that we brought out and we sparked that baby up and we started smoking the weed and the world was just swirling around again. So he turned to me, right? We're sitting there, we're smoking this bone and this guy turns to me and he said that he didn't mind sitting naked next to me, but he wanted to make sure that I knew he didn't want my balls to touch his balls. And I remember saying, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, how the fuck would that even happen? And because, like, if I'm sitting next to him, our legs are almost touching, right? A little space between our legs, like his left leg, my right leg, or whatever. But like, how the fuck is our balls going to touch, you know? I kind of have to, like, straddle him or something, right? And I said, you know, you think I'm going to, like, do a lap dance on top of you so our balls touch? Because that's, like, the only way it's going to happen. And the guy's like, no, I don't want no fucking lap dance. And I'm like, I'm kidding. I'm not, I wouldn't do that, dipshit. I was using that as an example of like the only way that my balls were going to end up pressed up against your little family jewels there was if I stood up and did that. So I said, have no fear. My balls are way over here and your balls are way over there. So like, don't worry about it. Just fucking relax, will you? Jesus, just fucking relax. So after that, we were just kind of like zoned out and just kept drinking and stuff. And the Middle Eastern guy, like, he kept his hands underwater, like, in his lap, like, probably, Tim said later, probably covering his dick, because he was so afraid that something was going to happen. And so, yeah, we were joking that later that night when we were in bed, like, homie, he was probably, like, you know, working his dick, shit. But anyway, we finally all got out of the hot tub, And this was like after midnight. So we did the, you know, Happy New Year, click, click, click with the glasses and shit. And I had taken a piss. And for some reason, by the time we got out, the Middle Eastern dude was like suddenly a changed man. I don't know if the ecstasy had set in finally or what the fuck. But suddenly he like wasn't shy at all. He didn't care at all. He was totally comfortable being naked. So he grabbed the towel that he had brought out there, but he didn't wrap it around himself at all. He just kind of walked back into the house and dried himself off. And then he just like sat down on the couch, like still naked. And Tim and I had like toweled off and wrapped the towels around us. And once we were inside, like it was still cold, you know, I mean, it was warm inside the place, but we had been out in the air. So, you know, we were still cold. So we like pulled shorts on right away. And this dude like didn't, like he's just like sitting on the couch naked. And I just thought it was really weird. So like for the next half hour or so, we started to play pool again. And like now this guy, again, has no problem being naked. And he's like shooting pool. He'd make a shot and then he'd stand like the cue up on the floor, you know, the cue stick up on the floor. And he'd kind of like absentmindedly like twirl it around. And his dick and balls were like right up against the fucking pool cue practically. It was a changed man, a completely fucking changed man. So sure enough, I was right, by the way, about the black hair. The black hair, he like had just the right amount on his body, right? He had full black hair like from under his arms, you know, right under his arm, in his armpits and stuff. And then there was like a trail of jet black hair down from his navel down to his crotch. And again, this was 1987, so this was back before anybody did any kind of like manscaping or shaving or whatever. Everybody was like totally natural, and which makes certain people, when they're hairy, certain people just look awesome, awesome, awesome with body hair. And he even had like short black stubble on the long toes of his feet. And I noticed that because kind of a foot guy. And his toes were like super muscular. And as he'd like set up his shots for shooting pool, he'd kind of like flex his muscular toes against the rug, like as he stabilized himself or something before he, you know, before he took the shot. And so, you know, I'm just like standing there with my own bottle of champagne still, you know, it's like three quarters done by now. And I'm just like watching him and Tim play. And this dude's just like bending over, you know, his ass is right there. He's naked as can be. I have no idea what changed him from what he was outside to this totally different guy inside. So, and by the way, I do have to say this guy had like the biggest dick, at least between the three of us that were in the hot tub. And I'm pretty sure like based on, like I'd seen Donovan naked. I don't think I ever did Chicky actually ever see him naked. But I had seen Donovan and Tim naked before because we'd worked out once in a while and showered together or whatever. So, oh, geez. Anyway, so I guess, you know, combination of the beer and the champagne and the ecstasy and the weed, and the Middle Eastern dude was like suddenly much more relaxed and he laughed a lot. And then, I don't know, he said something about what we did out in the hot tub. Me and Tim, and later I realized he meant when we would like take a piss out of the hot tub. So the way this was set up was there was a fireplace, and over near the fireplace was where the pool table was, and it was on like a tile floor area. The rest of the place over by the fireplace and over the couch and all that shit, that was all had a rug, a really like nice thick rug to it. Felt really good on your bare feet. But over at the pool table, it was this tile area. And it was still okay on the feet. It wasn't, you know, it was cooler than the carpet, but it wasn't like freezing. So the only way I can think of this is because it was a tiled area, he didn't give a shit about this. Because the bathroom was either upstairs or there was one downstairs, down in this like open room downstairs. There was no bathroom on the first floor. And for whatever reason, he decided like, he didn't want to have to go that far to take a piss. So that's when he commented on what we had done out in the hot tub. So what he did is, like, he would take an empty champagne bottle and he'd put the head of his dick right against it, right? And then, like, piss into the empty champagne bottle. And he didn't really, like, spill anything or anything. You know, he just pressed it right against it and he pissed into it. So this is the first time and maybe the only time that I've ever seen somebody drink their own piss. Because what he'd do is he'd take a chug out of a bottle of champagne that still had champagne in it, right? And then a couple minutes later, he'd grab this empty bottle and jam his dick against it and just kind of piss in it. And then after a couple times of doing this, right, Tim and I were like looking at each other like, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing here. Because what he'd do is he'd get mixed up between the bottles. And so after a couple times of doing this, he'd grab the bottle that he pissed in and he'd drink from the bottle, right? And Tim and I, like, were out of earshot for a bit and we were talking and joking to ourselves and saying, like, we think he's confused as to which bottle he's drinking out of. And he's just so fucked up that he can't tell the difference between drinking a bottle of champagne that, you know, kind of has warm champagne left in it and this fucking bottle of piss, right? So, oh my God, that was too fucking funny. And he was just so fucking shit-faced. I don't think he realized what he was doing. So within the next half hour or so, like, it wound down and we all ended up going back to our rooms. And I was bunking in with Tim and the other guy was sleeping with Chicky. And so maybe he was a friend of Chicky's, not Donovan, maybe a friend of Chicky's. And Donovan had his own room. And so I never heard anything else about that night, but Tim and I, like, laid in bed and we were just, like, laughing our fucking heads off that this guy drank his own piss. So the moral of the story is that's kind of intriguing. You know, I've watched videos of that, like, guys, you know, that either have a really strong piss stream and they can tip their dick up and shoot their piss in their mouth, or they'll find some other way and put it in a glass or something, which I think is kind of gross. But the idea of it, especially if you've been drinking and now your piss is just like beer or champagne or whatever, I don't know. Because if you remember, I told a story about using sounding rods and I never thought I'd do that. And then one day I was like, I just saw a video about that. That's intriguing. And so I ordered something on Amazon. But the way this works out is it's attached to me. I don't have to order anything from Amazon. So I don't have the guts to do it right now or the need to do it right now. But, you know, I do weird shit sometimes. And I think you're probably figuring that out by now.
Oh, I hope you enjoyed that story half as much as I enjoyed living it. So many of the guys that I have these awesome experiences with just seem to drift away as they got their own families, and we've kind of lost contact over the years. But I do have my journaled memories, and therefore, you get to hear some of these wonderful stories. I will be back with a more serious episode for next weekend. Meanwhile, this is Joey Hernandez. Thank you so very much for joining me today. Happy Christmas shopping. Bye for now.